number two, Darren Dotyk and Chase on this Tuesday morning. Appreciate Alan Bell for coming in here first hour. Good discussion with him. Tell you what, he brought up some really, really good points, especially the whole Arthur Smith stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to lose a lot of these guys, especially on offense,
well,
what difference does it make that he's been around the building for a long time if they're going to go bye-bye and it's going to be new people?
And what was one of the biggest reasons that we said this is a good move for making him the OC, that he would have familiarity with one particular person that's sitting on the bench? So,
yeah,
and it just hasn't looked much better even with Tannehill. I mean, it's looked better in certain places. I think quarterback play overall has looked better. But the offensive play scheme, I'm not ready to give up on him. But I will say that with where this team is currently at, if somebody like a Jay Gruden is available to be the OC, and you know you're in win now mode and you're able to keep some of these players, like if they're able to keep Derrick Henry, you know, keep maybe Jack Conklin, build the, you know, make that offensive line better, draft a quarterback, I would rather have an experienced OC like a Jay Gruden to develop the next quarterback.
David Poyle in about 10 minutes, Predators general manager. Speaking of that, we've told you all this week, all next week, sometime this hour on our show, and it's going to be the 11 o'clock hour every day this week and next week. One lucky winner, right? You're going to have a chance to qualify for that trip to Dallas, Winter Classic Celebration Flyaway, 7 o'clock hour on Morning Drive every day, our 11 o'clock hour on this show, and the 3 o'clock hour every day this week and next week on Jared and the GM. But you'll hear a Predators player give you the cue to call. You identify that player. Yesterday on our show, it was Matt Duchesne, somebody from Murfreesboro, did a good job of calling in, and they qualified. But the winner will be announced on November 15th. That'll be Friday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m. Remember, this prize pack includes round-trip airfare to Dallas, hotel accommodations in Dallas, a pair of tickets to see Lynyrd Skynyrd at American Airlines Center on New Year's Eve in Dallas, a pair of tickets to the Winter Classic to see the Predators and the Stars in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day. Of course, these prizes are courtesy of Outback Presents. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. So be listening this hour for your cue to call. The Predators kicked off their four-game road trip in 8 days. It's spread out. Last night, it was in the Motor City in Detroit against the Red Wings, a team that they were 1-10 against in their last 11. Like, just say that out loud.
Well, that's the Peter Laviolette era.
Well, right, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. And that was the second meeting last night. They're already done for the year after last night. They've already played twice. The Predators' second game of the season was here against the Red Wings, and they fell 5-3. But, yeah, they went into that game 1-10 in their last 11. They come out of that game 2-10 in their last 12 because they got down 1-0 after one and then opened up a can in the second period. 5 goals in the second period. 1 power play goal by Matt Duchesne, and then Philip Forsberg would cap off the evening with another power play goal in the third period, and the Preds would skate away with a 6-1 dominant win over a bad team. They needed to do that because Detroit was in the dumpers. They came into the game 1-9-1 in their last 11. So now they're 1-10-1 in their last 12 games. And so they're one of the worst teams in hockey to this point, starting the second month of the season. And that's a game and a team they needed to beat. It was pretty interesting hearing some of the players after the game actually talk about the stat. They knew. They knew they had not had any success against Detroit. So it wasn't like sometimes they're oblivious to that stuff, but they clearly knew that they had their struggles against the Red Wings, and they took it out on them last night.
Yeah, that they needed that for sure to start this road trip. And what I also thought was interesting is we saw Jofa, the Jofa line of Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson back together, and then a new line with Duchesne moving over to the wing. Kyle Turris played the center, and Calle Järnkrok over on the other wing. I liked that. I thought that was a good combination. Matt Duchesne with the 2 goals, one being on the power play. Kyle Turris scored his 4th of the season. So you saw some guys that you wanted to see get it going offensively. They did that. 2 power play goals. Nick Cale from Morning Drive is that much closer to his Dan Lambert tattoo.
Yep.
So I've seen some things on Twitter.
Lambert stamp.
Yeah, the Lambert stamp. The Lamb stamp. people with their designs. But that Colton Sissons continues to play well. So it – and by the way, goal leader, Nick Bonino.
Eight goals.
Did you ever think you'd hear that? I mean, nothing against Nick Bonino, but he's not the prolific goal scorer.
Well, and he's doing the dirty work. He's getting tips in front, and he's getting rebounds and tips. And look, he deserved that goal. He won the faceoff.
He sure did.
And the faceoff, then after winning that, it got slid out to Ham Hughes at the point. And Ham Hughes
made a great
do?
Play.
He slid down.
Mm-hmm.
In front, in and around the net, and Ham Hughes knew exactly where Bonino was, and he gets the tip, and he gets the goal, which I thought it was going to be Dan Ham Hughes, because 17 players have scored for the Predators, and the three that haven't scored is that combination, that third D pairing. And I was talking with Adam Vingan last night on pregame about it, and Adam was actually talking with Dan Ham Hughes. He currently is... he holds the longest streak without a goal in the NHL right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 96 games.
Yeah, because he didn't have one last year.
96 games.
Yeah.
So it's the longest in the NHL.
Wow.
And he brought that up to Dan Ham Hughes. And I said last night on pregame, I said, Adam, you realize that Dan's going to need to thank you for bringing this up, because he's now going to score, because you've shed light on this. And when that happened, I thought for sure, I was like, oh my gosh, it actually did happen. And I thought that was going to be the first goal of the evening, but it was by Dan Ham Hughes. But of course, it was Bonino's goal. But yeah.
Ryan Ellis continues to just amaze, gets another assist. Yossi, the same thing. So the players you want to see, and even some that you don't expect to be stepping up and adding a ton of offense, they were doing it last night. It's a good way to start the road trip, as they have a couple days off before their next game, a big matchup against the Colorado Avalanche.
They have 12 power play goals. They have now scored 10 games of their 15. They've had at least one power play goal. So 10 of their 15 games, they have delivered at least one power play goal. Like I said, they have 12 on the year. They are operating at a 20.7% clip with the man advantage. That is currently good for 16th in the league. Of course, for Nick Cale of Morning Drive to get the Lamb stamp, they need to be top five. And currently, the Vegas Golden Knights are fifth, and they are operating at a 25% clip. They have 13 power play goals. So 20.7%, 25% right now is your marker for top five, to get in that top five. So obviously a long ways to go, but I wonder at what point will Nick Cale start sweating?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because I love Nick, but I can see him trying to weasel his way out of this too.
No, he won't.
We won't let him.
No, he won't. It's too big.
No, I know. But
and if it ever gets close, it'll just be worse, because everybody will be talking about it. He won't have a choice. It's just peer pressure. He will have to do it.
I hope it happens.
By the way, everybody is rooting for that.
The players need to find out about this, because that'll just give them a little extra motivation.
Yeah. All right. We will come back. Speak with the general manager of the Predators, David Poile. His weekly with us is next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forsberg, half board, free Yossi at the point. Return to Forsberg, who comes out near the point. Now from the circle, he scores. What a ripper. He really let that one go. Power play goal for Philip Forsberg, and the Predators take a 6-1 lead.
Philip Forsberg, 5 goals in the first 6 games of the season. Then he was dealing with a lower body injury, out for 6 games. Back in the fold, that was his first goal back, or since being back. Now has 6 on the season, power play goal in the third period. And that would be the 6th and final goal of the evening, as the Predators would win 6-1 in Detroit. Our weekly with David Poile is right now. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. Willie D is heading back from Detroit yet. He will join us later in the show when he lands. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Darren.
That was a nice win last night, huh?
Yeah, we needed that. Obviously, the last couple of games didn't go our way. The Calgary game, when we had the big lead 4-1 and losing in overtime, that kind of left us a little bit of a mark, and we didn't quite recover, I guess you would say, from the Rangers. But to me, last night was a a real good effort. I mean, 60 minutes long. I mean, kept the foot on the pedal, so to speak, all the way through the game, and we were rewarded with a big win against Detroit.
If anybody was going to have a pool going into the season and said, you know, early November, Nick Bonino will be leading the team in goals. If you had that, you're currently leading your pool. What are you seeing out of Nick Bonino that is having early success from him?
Well, again, just a real smart player. I mean, as they say, if you want the money, where do you go? You go to the bank. And for Nick Bonino, he's going in front of the net. I mean, let's call it like it is. There's some players that just won't do that because there's a lot of cross checks and there's a lot of physical play in front of the net. And I think about five or six of his eight goals have all been by redirections, deflections, and you know, good on him to be realizing, you know, where we have the best chance of scoring. I mean, we break this down all the time in terms of the danger areas, and we have zone one, zone two, zone three, and you kind of measure where your quality is, and zone one is the place to be, and that's where Nick Bonino has been. So, you know, fantastic for him, and it's been a huge bonus for us this early part of the year.
David, I thought it was nice for Kyle Turris to get rewarded because I thought his line had a good shift. It was about 5 minutes to go or so in the first period, and he rang one off the post. Looked like maybe he was going to be able to tie it up with that, but later on, 5.5 minutes into the second period, he did get his fourth of the year. Nice play by him, just collecting a bouncing puck in the neutral zone. But we talked about him so much last year. He's off to a really good start. What are you seeing out of Kyle Turris?
Well, Kyle has always been a top offensive player. He's got a real dangerous shot. I guess I'd like to see him kind of use it a little bit more if he can, because he's very deceptive, and it's very fast. Fast shot, he changes direction just like he did last night. It's from a long way out, but he changes direction a little bit with his stick and his body, and I think he used the defenseman as a little bit of a screen, and it turns out to be the winning goal. So Kyle's getting a lot more chances. Again, our lines have been moved around a bit the last three or four games. I'm all right with that because it's early in the year and you're trying to find out who can play with who. And you know, last night Yarncroft, who is actually played very well and was moved up early part of the year from a third or fourth line position to the top line with Johansson and Arvidsson, gets spotted there last night with Duchesne and Turris, and I think he really helped them from his, I guess, his energy standpoint and his ability to retrieve pucks. So, you know, it really benefited both Duchesne and Turris. Duchesne got two goals, one on the power play and one even strength, and as you just mentioned, Kyle got the winning goal, so it looked like it had possibilities for sure.
David Poile, general manager of the Predators, on the line with us, joins us every time this week on Tuesdays. That's presented by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. You rewarded Colton Sissons with a 7-year deal in late July this offseason, a $20 million deal. He just collected his fifth goal of the season. Colton Sissons has always been, as I've described him, you always need a glue guy in the room. Colton is one of those guys. I love what he's been doing, especially coming down the right side. He's just been coming down and just delivering some bombs from the right side. I'll ask you the same thing. What have you seen so far out of Sissons' good start to the season?
It's his birthday today, so he's 26. So sure, he's happy about scoring last night. I mean, Colton's a player that we feel is still getting better in his overall game. Lavi uses him in all situations right now. Because of Bonino scoring so much, Sissons' line has actually become our checking and shutdown line. And if you see last night, there was different matchups through the game, and they weren't as important because we got the big lead in the second period. But, you know, Coach Laviolette probably was going to, when he had the ability to, he probably put Sissons' line against Larkin's line, which is Detroit's most dangerous line. And you might see that, you know, on Thursday night in Colorado in terms of where MacKinnon is playing. And I would think that it's a little bit harder because we don't have the last change. But when Coach Laviolette gets a chance, you think he'll put him against Sissons against MacKinnon. So all-around player, plays hard all the time. A guy that's a really good team player. I think he's a leader on our team, a future assistant or possibly captain type of a player. He's that influential with our guys. And as I said at the beginning here, I just feel that his game is still got more to grow, and you know, as his hands are getting better, he's going to contribute more offensively than he ever has before, and we've certainly seen that in the early part of the season.
You brought up last Thursday's game, and I thought Austin Watson was going to pull everybody out of the fire and have the game winner with just over a minute to go, but unfortunately it wasn't meant to be. But he did have two goals in that game, and what a night it would have been. Announced in the second period, he gets a new contract and could have had the game winner late. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since that new deal was announced, 3 years, $4.5 million. What went into that? And we got a chance to talk to him, Hal Gill and I, in postgame after the game, and he really, you could see it, is just his body language, how much it meant for the organization to stand behind him, and he admitted how tough last year was for him and his family personally, and for you guys to reward him with a new deal, you could just feel it right there in the room of what it meant to him. So what went into that decision?
Well, first of all, it's two goals and two assists. I wish I could sign a player before every game. Maybe we get good results. When you signed Yossi, I believe we had a pretty good game that night.
Yep.
You know, you can only dole out so many contracts. But on a more serious side, it's certainly well documented all of the problems that Austin has had off the ice, and I really feel that our organization, and I mean throughout our organization, lots and lots of people, lots of players, different situations at different times, that everybody has worked really hard with Waddy and his family to at least help him get partially where he is today. Obviously, the responsibility and the only person that can, you know, really do it is Austin Watson, and he has certainly made a concerted effort to be, you know, as responsible as he can be. And for example, his first summer is when you look back at it, because of all the situations that happened off the ice with Waddy, it was first summer that he's been able to work out on a regular basis, and he has, and he just looks really good. He feels good. We totally recognize when you have a situation like this that it's a day-to-day situation, but I didn't feel that it was right to, when we're trying to keep our core of our players together, to just try to, you know, offer him a one-year extension type of thing. I think it really felt that the right thing to do in terms of our relationship is that we should do a little bit of a longer-term deal, and I know he and his family are very appreciative of that, and we're very happy that we signed him, and we obviously hope him the best of luck both on the ice and, more importantly, off the ice.
David Poile, Predators general manager, here with us. And just sticking on that for a second, David, is that one of those, you know, when it's all said and done and you've agreed on the terms, that you kind of sit back personally and just knowing that you're part in all of this and the organization's part in all of this, that's it's a little bit of a personal victory to help somebody along like that and then reward them for coming out on the right side?
Yeah, this is very difficult. I mean, just because I've been in the business a long time, unfortunately, I've dealt with some of these situations before. They're never quite the same. They're always very difficult. You have the player that usually in most cases thinks it's a one-off. The problem is never recognized at the beginning. There's usually, you know, a lot of failure, if you will. I think relationships don't go smoothly in most cases, because you're always negative with the player. You're confronting the player, and you're trying to do what you think is right, but it's hard. And again, it always comes back to the player getting the proper help and counsel, and then, you know, coming to grips with his situation. And with Waddy, he has, and with our organizations, I'm just repeating myself, I really feel that we've done the best that we can to be an ally for him, to be there when he needs it. And again, our players probably are at the top of the ladder there in terms of deserving the most credit in terms of how they've kept Waddy, you know, as part of an important part of our team, and, you know, including them in everything, and, you know, looking out for them, if you will.
So I tried to get you last week on this, and you didn't bite, so I don't think you're going to do it now. But how long do you want to evaluate some of the other contracts that are going to be coming up this off season? You're going to spread things out a little bit, or is that something that you're already looking at?
We're always looking at it. So, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to bite, I guess, if you will. I think that there's a lot of games to be played. As I say, we're looking at a lot of different situations. And again, it's not just me, if you will. It's also, you know, some of the other players. I mean, you know, we don't have too many contracts to do. I mean, there's two forwards that two or three forwards and were in their last year with that's like Granlin, Smith, Grimaldi, and a couple of defensemen, three defensemen actually, and Hamhuis, Irwin, and Weber. I mean, we've touched base with their respective agents and, you know, try to have that relationship to letting them know that everything kind of has an order. And, you know, we're not totally clear on what the cap is going to be next year. And, you know, I just think it's going to take a little bit more, more time to, you know, figure things out. You know, we want to look down the road here a little bit in terms of how our team, you know, fares as we get closer to the, you know, the middle of the season, to the trading deadline, to see whether we want to or need to make any changes. So I think right now we're in a good place, and I don't anticipate doing anything, you know, in terms of other contracts at this moment. So that's not to say in a month or so that won't change, but at the moment I think we'll sort of stick with where we are.
David, what have you seen out of Mikael Granlund lately? He had a pretty good start to the season with that Duchesne line, and I know with injuries, you know, things have moved around, and Peter Laviolette is trying to find the right combinations, but things have cooled off for him as of late. What have you seen?
Well, I think what Peter Laviolette was trying to do last night is kind of message a little bit to our top two lines that we're getting plenty of scoring, but it's not coming from you. It's coming from the third and fourth line, and we just need a little bit more balance. And, you know, Duchesne was arguably our best forward for the first five or six games. Then he got hurt. Forsberg, as you had mentioned on the opening, at five goals in five games. And then he got hurt, came back. He finally scored last night. Duchesne gets two goals last night. So just shaking things up. So Kyle Turris gets rewarded by his play and moves up to the first or second line, however you want to call it. Granlund, you know, moves down for at least one night. Kelly Yarncroft, who started on the fourth line, has been now playing on one of the top two lines and playing very, very well. So I think the competition is always good. And again, knock on wood, when I say this, there's going to be things that happen, you know, from good play, bad play, and, you know, injuries, that we need to know what people can do. So the fact that we're moving people around right now is not the worst thing in the world. Granlund's game last night to me was really good, and he had as many chances as anybody to either get assists or to score a couple of goals, and he just seems to be a little bit snake-bitten right now. So I think he's in a good place. He works as hard as anybody on our team, and I'd just like to see him have a little bit more success, and if he could do in terms of getting some points, because if he could do that, I think his confidence would even go higher and be a top player for us.
David, we always appreciate the visits. Enjoy Denver, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
That is David Poile, general manager of the Predators. And every week, Tuesday at 11:15, it's presented by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. They are out there. They will pick back up on Thursday against the Avalanche. Saturday night, late night hockey. They'll be up in Northern California against the Sharks, who are off to a horrendous start. And then they'll wrap things up Tuesday in Vancouver against the Canucks. So it's a four-game road trip over 8 days. So it's an opportunity for the team to spend some time together, you know?
Yeah.
And so you need those.
Which is what you like about road trips.
Right, you need those team-building exercises, especially mm-hmm. early in the season, to get everybody on the same page and also to kind of just loosen things up a little bit, right? Kind of get right away from hockey. And this road trip will certainly allow them to do that. All right, we'll come back and discuss a little bit more about the Predators on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Is this the new contracts? People getting paid? By the way, happy birthday, Colton Sissons. You just heard in that interview with David Poile. Pekka had his 37th on Sunday. He rewarded the team with a victory last night. His 30th career start against the Red Wings. And he picked up his 8th win of the season. You got birthdays, you got new contracts.
You know, it's very early in the season, but we've brought up Norris and Roman Josi. with the start that Pecorine is off to, there could be another trophy that he's adding to his shelf, his second one of these. If he keeps this up, and again, I know it's just early November, but if Pekka keeps playing at this clip, I mean, we might be talking Vezina again for him later on in the season. I mean, he's off to a tremendous start. And at 37 years young, as I did the profile piece on him and his birthday the other night, it's just cool. I mean, it's cool to see that he's not slowing down, and he is locked in right now.
As they say, if you want the money, where do you go? You go to the bank.
Yeah, it's true. That's a very good point. And the bank in this case, when it comes to hockey, is what we discussed before we brought David up, where Nick Bonino's been hanging around. The dirty areas, right? The tough areas where you get beat up a little bit, but sometimes you pay the price, and other times you get rewarded, and he's been rewarded a lot. He's got mm-hmm. 8 goals. He's a smart hockey player. Like, Nick Bonino gets it. Like, he's been through all that. He's just a smart, smart hockey player. And
he is.
He's well on his way to a big year if he can keep this going.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to get – there's two guys, which are interesting as we're making light and having fun with the new deals, but there's two guys they got to get going, and it's critical for those two guys because – it's the contract year. And, Kelgren Hanlon right now, it's gone 10 games without a point. Yeah. They got to get him going. I mean, he just – for whatever reason, you chalked it up – last year is joining the team at the deadline, and his wife is about to have a baby, and there's a lot going on. So you just chalk that up as there was just a lot going on.
Right.
Now it's a new year. Yeah. So now it's a new year, and you're 15 games in, and it's gotta look and be better, especially if you're playing with the talent that you are. I mean, it's gotta be better. And then the other one is Craig Smith, who certainly we've known for a long time, and he's been a very, very consistent player over the years. You know what you're going to get out of him production-wise, and that's 20 or more goals. He's done a 5 out of the last 6 years, but right now he sits there with 1 goal. Now, does that mean he's invisible? Not at all.
No, he's playing well.
He's
it's
playing
just not
really
showing up.
Well. He really the is. Stats. Like, he's extremely visible. They've been very good. Craig Smith has been very good. He's been working hard. Unfortunately, his hard work is paying off for others,
right?
But
which doesn't go unnoticed.
No,
by any means.
No,
the
but
coaching
I'm just
staff
saying,
and everybody sees that. But
he's just a guy where you're just used to it. Does that mean he can't get to 20? No,
yeah.
Of course not. He's also a guy like a lot of guys that comes in waves, and so when he gets hot, he's a guy who can rip off 6-7 goals in 10 days. Right. That's no problem for him. So I suspect at some point that he'll get rewarded for his hard work and his play to this point. He's been rewarded. The team has been rewarded. He just hasn't been rewarded in the goal department.
Right. And I want to bring this up because I don't think it applies as much to Craig Smith, even though they asked him to play the off wing to start the year to see how that would work. And now he's back to his natural position. In Peter Laviolette's setup and his offense, guys are going to move around. I mean, that's what he does. He moves the chess pieces around quite a bit. And I think some guys adapt to that quicker than others. Mikael Granlund, to me, is a prime example of somebody that when he's in a certain spot and you leave him there and you let it gel and you let the chemistry work, then that's when you see the production out of him. When guys get hurt, come out of the lineup, you have to shift things around. I just don't know if he's adapting as quickly. And that could just be it's taking time for him to just get on the same page with everybody. Craig Smith, Nick Bonino. Bonino told me a few weeks ago that I've played with pretty much everybody on this team now that over the past 3 years that I've been here. I Johansson's the only one that he hasn't really played with, but he's played with pretty much everyone else. So that chemistry is there. It's quicker. Mikael Granlund hasn't been here as long, and I think that that's part of the issue. So Craig Smith, as we just said, has been visible. You've seen him. He's making plays. He's just not – it's not showing up, with assists and goals. But then Mikael Granlund, it's just finding the perfect spot for him, and I just wonder how they're able to do that because moving him around isn't working. It's just they got to find the right spot to keep him in where he can get it going.
The good news is for the Predators, they've been – the best offensive team in the Western Conference, second best offensive team in the National Hockey League, only behind the Washington Capitals in goals, who ironically they've already beaten. I uncovered a pretty cool trend last night in postgame that I delivered to the audience. It's why you listen to postgame. This is hard-hitting stuff, Chase. I uncovered in my research last night on the fly that the magic number for the Predators is 6 goals. When they get to 6 goals, they never lose.
Yeah?
They never lose.
That's hard-hitting journalism right there.
This year, they're 3-0 when they get to 6 goals.
Yeah, well, that's amazing.
Hey, 5's not the magic number. They had 5 against Calgary. It wasn't enough. 6 is the magic number. 3-0. They beat the Capitals 6-5. They beat Anaheim 6-1. They beat Detroit 6-1. 6 is the magic number. They can just get to 6 a lot. They'll win a lot of hockey games.
Well, with the way this offense is played.
You can't get that anywhere else.
That's good.
But I bring that up because the Capitals are the leading goal scorer in the league. And ironically, it took 6 goals to win that game. They needed all 6 to win that game against Washington earlier this year.
Well, and I'm curious to see how many they're going to need on Thursday against Colorado. Now, you know, Landeskog is out, Rantanen's out, so they're missing some firepower on their side, but Colorado's still a pretty good team from top to bottom. I'm curious of what that magic number, because I don't see them scoring 6 goals against Colorado. I mean, that's going to be a good matchup. Maybe they do, but I'm curious to see what that magic number is going to be Thursday night.
Colorado has had 12 less goals than the Predators this season. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour. Don't forget Mitch Light. We'll talk college football with him in studio. During the third hour of the program, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years now about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you men out there have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician over there, is front and center on that quest to helping you out. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope everybody out there, especially as we all get older, wants that like I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems. That's important. Your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and make that appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. A hearty congrats to Michael and Gallatin. Michael correctly identified Pekka-Rinne. Look, here's the deal. Yesterday was Matt Duchene. Today was Pekka. As the lines exploded both times on our show during the 11 o'clock hour, the bottom line is if you want to qualify for this unbelievable trip to Dallas on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, where you're going to get round-trip airfare and hotel accommodations and tickets to see Leonard Skinner on New Year's Eve at American Airlines Center and tickets to the Winter Classic for the Preds and the Stars at the Cotton Bowl, all this courtesy of Outback, you have to be listening, and the minute you hear it, you have to get in there, because we've had the first caller every time so far. 2 days in, it's the first, as the lines explode at once, and I mean an explosion, our two winners, yesterday in Murfreesboro, today in Gallatin, it was the first caller.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to be on your heels. You're going to have to be ready to rock and roll, because the minute you hear that player, you're going to have to be dialing those digits. So good job by everybody, and good job by Michael to get in there first, because I suspect if it wasn't Michael, it was going to be the next caller.
Exactly.
It's a great prize. Remember, all this week and all next week, 7 o'clock hour on Morning Drive, 11 o'clock hour on our show, and the 3 o'clock hour on the afternoons. This week and next week, those are your chances to qualify. And then on November 15th, on that Friday, the grand prize winner will be announced at 5:30 p.m. I thought it was a pretty interesting conversation that we had with Alan Bell and the London discussion that's going on right now.
Because I sent that to you guys last night, and I saw it, you know, perusing The Athletic. But I do think it's interesting because how it could affect the Titans, but affect the NFL.
Because it looks like it is going to happen. It really does. I mean, and I get it now. I used to say, I don't know why they're trying so hard to make London work, you know. But now I get it. I mean, it doesn't matter who they plop down there. We've seen it grow. I feel like they're there now every other week in the NFL. I mean,
they've been doing it for 17 years.
I know.
Can you believe that?
But every year, just, I feel like they're adding more and more games. And like I said, it feels like they're just over there all the time now. And when you turn it on first thing in the morning and you see no matter what the matchup is, whether it's the Dolphins, whether it's the Jags, whether it's the Titans, it doesn't matter. It's a packed house, 80,000, loud and into it. And so I get it. It does look like it's very clear they enjoy American football over there in London. And I can understand. I mean, there are franchises here that, while the NFL is extremely healthy, there are franchises that are not healthy.
Right.
You know, that they do have issues, and it's a lot of it's because of they're losing all the time. And I remember a conversation vividly when we had Lorenzo Neal on with us right after it was announced that LA was going to get two teams and that the Chargers were leaving San Diego. And, of course, Lorenzo Neal played for the Chargers. He played for the Titans. He knows the lay of the land in California, even though he's out in Northern California.
He played for the Raiders.
I remember him telling us, guys, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Two teams in LA is not going to work. The team from San Diego is not going to work in Los Angeles. The Chargers will not work in LA. And I was like, wow. He was very adamant about that. And when you watch the Chargers games and every time they play any team with a fan base, whether it was Green Bay last week, it's just filled and littered with cheeseheads. Whether it's the Steelers and you see the stands littered in black and gold. Whether it was the Eagles last year, littered in green. It doesn't, like I said, the Cowboys, any team with a big fan base, a big following,
they're going to buy it out.
They just buy out the whole. I feel bad for the Chargers. Like, it's embarrassing. It's just the other team's fans.
It's a tough position to be in because they tried everything to stay in San Diego. That was their first choice. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay in San Diego, but the city just wasn't willing to budge. And, I mean, it mentions in this article that a move back to San Diego is a non-starter because they have basically just moved on from stadium
plans. Which is amazing.
Amazing. It's silly in my mind, I mean, that they would do that. But I guess they're content just having the Padres and that's it. But, you know, what's interesting to me, because the NFL clearly wants to be in London, and if the Chargers are on board with this, then cool. But I do wonder if there's another NFL-hungry city that might see this and go, okay, wait a minute, we'll step up. We're willing to, you know, like Vegas did for the Raiders, we're willing to step up and build a stadium, and then all of a sudden the Chargers are like, oh, you know what? We'd rather go to San Antonio, or we'd rather go to Oklahoma City, or, you know, something like that of a team here, because no matter what, that's going to be more appealing because of the travel and the expense.
Logistics, it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot. Like, I don't
know.
That's
the thing that worries me.
To me, you're going to have two off weeks, two bye weeks for everybody. Mm-hmm. So the season's going to get stretched out, even though, as we've talked about this season, it looks like preseason, finally, there's been enough, you know, outpouring and people screaming from the mountaintops, like this show and shows all around the country and fans saying, enough. Stop charging us full price for a practice. That's ridiculous. For most of these guys, you'll never even see on Sundays. Like, stop it. And so it looks like preseason is probably going to get cut in half. So you have to find ways to make up that money and to keep growing the brand, which is very good. Like, they're now at like $15 million. I think Alan Bell said they'd like to be at a $25 billion pie every year, which is absurd. But I would say that would go a long ways because...
But they'll probably get there. I mean, I don't see it slowing down. They probably get there.
Well, but I mean, you're going to have to do some outside the box thinking
Putting a team in London is a part of that. I still I do believe that the NFL will use this as a bargaining chip to get at least a 17th game in the regular season, because they're not going to let that go. And if a part of that is, okay, the Players Association's like, all right, we're good, we'll go to London, but we want a second bye.
Two preseason games, one extra regular season game, and two byes.
Yep. And I think that's the league will come back with.
I'll tell you right now, I'd sign up for that. I would be that would be, to me, a good move.
If the owners are willing to go, okay, this pie that's getting bigger, we're going to give the players a little bit more of that pie, and the players, I think, would go for it. Even though they're playing an extra game, they get a second week off, less preseason, and then, you know, a little bit more money, and then you have the logistics of the travel. You have to put a commitment to that. You can't just give up after 3 years of, oh, this is too hard, traveling to London. We're going to move. The Chargers are coming back. I think there has to be a set, you know, 5 years, 10 years. I don't know what the commitment is, but you got to commit to it, and you got to do what you can to make it work.
We just got odds on Twitter from Alan Bell's employer, Sportsline. Where will the Chargers be playing home games in the 2025 season?
Okay, which is that five-year window that we were talking about earlier.
Los Angeles even. London plus 200, San Antonio plus 800, then San Diego, Portland, Oakland, Toronto, and anywhere else.
So, still the favorite is for them to be in L.A. Interesting. Okay.
It's something.
To be continued. All right, we'll switch gears, talk a little college football. There's kind of a huge game this weekend. There's some huge games as we start a new month. We'll talk with Mitch Light, Athlon Sports on the other side. Here of Darren, Donnie, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.